Welcome to the Seeking Certainty podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool here, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with another in the Seeking Certainty podcast series, where we aim to help as many Australians as possible find the financial certainty in their busy lives they deserve, whilst navigating themselves around the potholes and issues and trends in the industry that has kept more and more Australians away from, in fact, getting good advice and leaving them to do it by themselves. But there is a new generation of advisors being built. Certainty Advisors is one of them, and that's our group. Our topic today is on the Banking Royal Commission into the Australian banking advice, insurance and mortgage markets, which you may be following. It's got quite a way to go, but it's really quite interesting what the effect will be on the overall marketplace long term. In fact, Peter Harris, who heads up the Productivity Commission. Now, the Productivity Commission, this is an Australian government independent research and advisory body, and it advises the government on a range of economic, social, environmental issues, which affects all Australians, and it does so in an impartial manner. It put out a draft report just last week, interestingly timed with the Royal Commission, on competition in the financial system. And it said that the four major banks have this overpowering ability to pass on cost increases and set their own prices that maintain their high levels of profitability without losing market share. It goes on to say that Australia's own prudential regulation has limited the scope for traditional price competition. This echoes some of the comments from some of the smaller banks, people running the smaller banks in Australia, that they just can't get to the top because of the regulations, the four pillars approach the government enforces has ensconced the banks. And as we know, the banks are at the centre of a lot of the issues being brought forward by the Royal Commission. So lots of changes coming out, not simply just from Royal Commission, but groups like Peter Harris's, or the government's, I should say, Productivity Commission. But today, I'm lucky to have Julie Horto, who's an owner and with Paul Gilby, over in the beautiful Wild West of Perth within Highwood Partners. Highwood Partners is a great boutique advisory firm just on the Kings Park end of St. George's Terrace in downtown Perth. Does a great job serving Perth's families. Julie herself is a multi-awarded advisor, coming late to advising. Started out as a junior planner, actually, as you'll hear in this podcast, within a bank, to now being working within one of Perth's best boutique advisory houses. Listen out as you listen to Julie as to what are the changes that she's hoping to see for herself, her firm, and her clients, and why she believes the industry needs new trusted brand names. But I think probably the biggest takeaway is how to recognise trusted advice. But I started, Julie, what's causing this situation we're in now?
I think there's been a lot of bad press in the regarding financial services, and that's why people are looking at the Royal Commission to find answers and also to provide affordable financial advice to the public. Mm.
And what do you think? Was there any specific conduct by specific institutions or participants in the industry that you think has led us to the situation where we've got a Royal Commission?
I think that people are very mistrusting of the industry, and there's been lots of complaints, especially with regards to the big banks and how they remunerate their employees, which is one of the issues I think is quite relevant to have a look into, because it might not be necessarily the bad advice, but it's probably more the business structure of getting new business in the door and not the servicing of what clients probably need, more regular reviews.
So do you think the remuneration issue has probably been one of the biggest contributors to the situation we're in at the moment?
I think it does, because it creates the culture where you're just looking at the bottom line and getting business in. You're not servicing the clients. Mm-hmm. The employees of whoever are remunerated for the new business that's brought in. It's encouraging churning of products, if for want of a better word. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues I think we need to address, because I think that really does influence the culture. That then gets the reputation of financial services in the bad light in the press, mm-hmm. which then obviously leads to the Royal Commission and people asking to be treated more fairly and honestly. And also with the structure of the way that financial services are licensed. Licensees normally have in-house products, which also can lead to a feeling that you're just selling products rather than services.
Yeah. And so, Julie, you know, back when you and I started, you know, we all respected the bank manager and the banking system, and we all we all did not think at the time that when we went and got loans and started out, there'd be any perceived conflict. And we'd hoping we'd get a loan. And obviously these days now that perception has changed. And again, probably a similar question, but different way of coming from it. What's caused the institutions to take this shift from an environment where the bank managers were respected to this one? Is it simply just pursuit of shareholder returns or the change of REM structure? Because they did hold a really trusted place in the marketplace 20, 30 years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, I think if you go to people, financial managers or people from mortgage, you trust that they know what they're talking about. They trust that you'll put your interests in front of their own. But I think people have got more educated and are questioning actually how people are getting paid and how products work. I think probably with the internet and all the information on there, people are questioning the honesty and integrity of big organisations now.
Yeah, and I think it's they go to our doctor better informed. You know, we go to our car repairer better informed if we've got that so much information and available to us. Thanks for the net. And so, from your work as an advisor there at Highwood Partners and seeing all sorts of clients and helping them play, as you play, the principal advisor role, what sort of changes would you hope would come out of the commission, Julie, to help you and Paul there at Highwood Partners be able to do your job better? Is there any specific changes you'd be seeking?
I think with any Royal Commission, it's all the bad press that you're going to get. I'd like to see some sort of good stories or success stories or good relationships that have been formed. And that's quite the reason why I do the Certainty Advisor stuff and believe in that people can then recognise a trademark that they know that these particular advisors have values that are beyond just the sales of products.
Mm-hmm. And what hope have we got, really? You know, the institutions you talk about, you know, they're the top four banks from the top 10 companies in Australia. They're AMP, the overseas groups. They're huge groups. Do you think the Royal Commission, headed up by Justice Hayne, will have a market effect on how consumers view advice or get advice?
I think the banks do have their place. There are people that are very, very loyal to their banking institution, and that's fine. But I hope that people will question and look for an advisor that they trust rather than they think is being supported by one of the big four banks. Having worked in the banking industry as a paraplanner, you could see, as I mentioned before, the remuneration was very much sort of at bonus levels and structures and meeting KPIs and had a very low base for starting advisors in there.
Okay, so you're saying there that, again, the incentives were loaded up into getting more business on board, getting more products into place with paying people a very low base, and then they started to make real money once they actually accumulated behaviours that attracted more product as compared to satisfied clients.
Yes, and then that's when you get a little bit sort of tainted in your approach to work. You're looking for the sales angle or moving products rather than saying, well, this product's not is okay for you. There's nothing wrong with it, and actually working with the client to achieve what they want. And I think that's sort of the fair and honest approach to providing financial services, is to actually look at the client's goals rather than what products or how much money they have or anything like that, what's important for them to achieve.
So I think you mentioned before that hopefully, and for people listening to this podcast, what could they recognise? What should they be listening out for? How can they tell when they're talking to their loans officer at a bank or their investment advisor or their insurance advisor, how can they tell that this is probably the sort of advice that Julie was talking about that I could trust? What would be some of the little signals or clues they should be listening out for, in your opinion?
I think it's probably that they don't just look at what you have on your sort of investment sheet. They're interested in you as a person, what you're looking to achieve in your financial life, rather than, say, looking at what products you've got and how much money they can move over into their own product.
So obviously you've experienced it, you've seen it when you were back in the bank, and now with Highwood Partners with Paul and yourself, you're building a very different model, and hopefully you see the Royal Commission as a turning point.
It would be nice. The one thing I do worry about with the Royal Commission is if they do make more changes to legislation and we become more regulated and have more things to do, it's going to cost, it's going to increase the cost of providing advice, which may not make it affordable to the general, to everybody, which is a, which would be a shame.
Yeah, I think the side debate, which seems to be, I don't know if it's getting nearly as much press as the headlines about scandals, but the side debate is making advice much more affordable for more and more Australians as well.
It also means that, you know, people, more people come to us, then we can get more of our story out of what we do as financial planners and how different we can how much we can change people's lives.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you take from that? I got three things from that. One, we're loyal. We're loyal people. And despite potentially what the Royal Commission may show, people may retain their loyalty to the banks, because that's just the way that it always has been. They may always do that. And that's a very good observation by Julie. Secondly, seek advisors, whether after a loan or after insurance advice, or whether after investment advice, self-managed super fund, pension advice, retirement advice, any advice. But make sure if you are seeking out advice that the advisors are talking about you more than they're talking about your money and then what they can do with your money. And obviously they've got to have expertise to deal with the money. But make sure you get the telltale signs that they're fundamentally more interested in you and what you're trying to achieve, and then they'll pay the attention to what they can do, what capability, expertise they can bring with their money. And I think the third thing I take from that is that the bad issues and the reasons we're in the way we are, and so little people trust advice, in Julie's opinion, which I totally agree with, is basically because that's how the industry has been paid for so long. So there you have it, another great advisor who is day by day changing the perception of what actually is professional advice there in downtown St George's Terrace in Perth, and making a great difference in her clients' lives. But as she said, not by product selection, but by professional care, her direction, and her award-winning expertise. Love to get your feedback on this and all of them. Thank you for listening, and keen to keep you informed so you can make the best possible decisions of your own as you search for that certainty in your own financial lives. Jim Stackpole signing out for now.
Thank you for listening to the Seeking Certainty podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.